This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I want to call to order the meeting of the Senate Appropriations Committee. I want to greet all our internet listeners this morning, and also a reminder that anyone that has a cell phone to please turn it off, otherwise it will goes off. It goes to the donation of choice of your chairman. And at this time, I'd like the secretary to call roll.
Bartling?
Here.
Hunstead?
Here.
Ahlers?
Here.
Nordstrup?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Haverly?
Here.
Funhoff?
Here. We do have a quorum present. Paige, that's here. I'd like you to come up, introduce yourself, say where you're from, and what your plans are after high school.
My name is Carol Ann Malloy. I'm from Union Center. I go to Faith High School, and I'm planning on going to USD for elementary education.
Very good. Awesome. Thank you. Good teacher. Well, just a reminder, anyone that is testifying on bills today, that you need to sign in. And with that, we will move to our agenda. Okay, here we go. SB 50, which revises the General Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2009. Good morning, Mr. Dilges.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jason Dilges with the Bureau of Finance and Management. Senate Bill 50 comes to you this morning, hopefully not surprisingly, as it is a revision to the current year's General Appropriations Act. This is something that has become a sort of practice where we have come in and asked for minor modifications in the general bill mid-year. And so that's what Senate Bill 50 would ask to do this particular fiscal year. The bill has three sections that make some modifications. The Department of Game, Fish, and Parks, the Department of Social Services, and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. If I could, I've got a couple of amendments I'd like to hand out.
Just for purpose, would someone move those amendments?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Do you have them both?
Yeah, there's a second. If maybe just one at a time, if that's okay, Madam Chair.
All right. Then we'll do 50OB, if that's okay with the person that made the motion to move that one. And the second? Okay.
Okay, Madam Chair, if you'd allow me to discuss both the provisions of the bill and amendment at the same time.
Sure.
Because they're related. Section 1 within the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks adds $156,382. That's in the bill that you have. And the reason for the addition would be that when you approved the piece of legislation last year that authorized the Board of Regents to issue bonds for the improvements to the science facilities, the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks tagged onto that bond issue, citing Senate Bill 218 from the 2007 legislative session related to the Custer State Park bonding for the facilities. There's a bonding provision that allows you to, even if it's a taxable bond issue, you can issue the first issue 10% and then the subsequent 5% of a purely tax-exempt issue. So we've been tagging on other bond issues to get the $12 million of authorized bonding for the Custer State Park project. So once you authorized that bill last year, they tagged on to that project, issued bonds, and now they need general funds to be able to make the debt service payment on the additional bonding that took place. The amendment that you have just changes. We made a typo, and instead of calling it the the park improvement, it would be bond redemption fund would be within section 4 of the bill. Sections 1 and sections 4 of your bill are related. Lest you think you're giving them $156,000 of brand new general funds, section 4 allows them to transfer monies from their bond redemption fund into the general fund so that that bond payment can flow through the general fund, take advantage of the full faith and credit of the state of South Dakota. So, again, and I apologize for the complexity of this, but what's happening here is since they issued additional bonds that were authorized, section 1, 4, and the amendment allows them to transfer monies from their bond redemption fund into the general fund and then also gives them a like amount of general funds to make such bond payment for the additional bonding that was done.
Are there any questions on this? Okay, then okay. All those in favor of this amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Madam Chair, Section 2 of the bill is with regards to the Department of Social Services, Medical and Adult Services. We had originally thought that because of some of our case... Excuse me.
We haven't moved this.
I'm sorry.
Okay, move. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Amendment 50 UA. Okay.
I apologize. I'm sorry. Thank you, Senator Hempstead. Section 2, again, like I said, we were thinking that we would need about $900,000 of general funds and subsequent federal funds because of caseload increases in medical services. But because our caseloads now have started to plateau, coupled with we've gotten some one-time savings in our Medicare Part D program, we now believe that this additional general and federal funds is not necessary. And so what Amendment 50 UA that was just moved would actually delete Section 2 of the bill, thus saving you a little less than $900,000 in general funds and about $1.6 million in federal fund expenditure authority. The other thing would be that to the extent we will get additional monies into the Medicaid program as a result of the FMAP change, state monies, we would also have that flexibility should caseloads turn around and go back up. But we feel at this time we don't need this, and so we felt that it was responsible to come in, ask you to remove that and save some general funds.
Thank you. Any questions? Sure. Senator Haverly.
Could you just repeat those amounts again?
I believe that it is about $867,000 in general funds and about $1.6 million in federal funds. I don't have the exact dollar amounts. I don't have my calculator.
Okay.
Thank you.
I did the math. It's 862,396 and 162,673.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other questions? All those in favor of the Amendment 50 UA signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, that concludes the amendments. If I could just walk you through the rest of the bill. Section 3 deals with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. As you may recall, a couple years ago, we asked you to authorize some expenditure authority to conduct a project at the state vet's home by which we would modify their heating systems to a biomass system. As of right now, that project has been put on hold because of cost estimates inflating because of a long-term care task force still waiting for a report from them. And so, like I said, that project is now on hold. Because that project's been put on hold, when we compiled the budget for this 2 years ago and last year, we assumed the energy savings as a result of that project being complete. But because that project is now on hold, we won't be able to save the utility costs that we had originally projected that we would save, and so we will need, we are requesting that you will allow us to add back $70,000 in general funds to pay the utility costs because of the delay of that. Should we come back again, we would need you to bless that project, or at least the reduction of the utilities costs as a result of that project going forward again. But right now, because of the inflated cost estimates, we cannot make the required payback of 15 years that is necessary for the Energy Conservation Loan Fund. And so we're still working on it. It just isn't, again, it's been delayed, and as a result, they're going to need to be able to pay their bills for the rest of this fiscal year. So that's what the $70,000 is for. Section 4, I already dealt with that. Again, that's just the section that allows the state treasurer to transfer monies from the Custer State Park Bond bond redemption fund to essentially make Section 1 of this bill offset to zero. And then Section 5 is the standard language that says any funds that are appropriated, which is kind of irrelevant here, but will be carried over to fiscal year 2010 in case that happens. And then Section 6 is, again, standard language that it's effective June 29th, 2009, which is 90 days past the end of the legislative session. And, again, that's standard practice. So that is all I have. Not sure if you want, there are agencies here. In case you have specific questions I can't answer. I do know, I believe that the Board of Regents has some amendments they'd like you to add onto the bill, and if you like them, then I would consider them friendly.
Thank you, Mr. Dilges. Any questions for Commissioner Dilges? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Other proponents of the bill? Proponents?
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Monty Kramer with the Board of Regents Officers. A couple of handouts coming around, and I'll wait until you get those. I can summarize for you the amendment that you have in front of you. Do you need to take action on that before I do that?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Senator Haverly.
I'll move Amendment 50, Mike Bravo.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me just go through the changes to the bill and highlight the authority requests that we have in the bill. Our requests are for for other fund authority in the bill. The Board of Regents office needs $1,430,000 worth of other fund authority. This is tied to the bond issue that from last year that we added on to. You'll recall the science facility bond funding that we were provided some general funds to support, as well as higher education facilities funds. To that bill, we added $10 million to do the School of Mines and Technology chemistry building, and also to address some additional bonding that we needed for three other projects that had been previously approved. They were Slagle Hall, Shepherd Hall, and the business school. And so we needed just additional money to make our bond payment. Well, of course, we have the cash in our HEF fund. That's for $1,430,000. Dakota State University needs additional authority for the governor's 2010 Research Center, which has just been approved in information assurance. $410,000 is the amount of state dollars that will be provided to them for that center. the additional amount that they're asking for is $790,000, which they believe they will get as grants from private industry. They are partnering with the banking industry on this particular center. This is their first year of operation and need $790,000 worth of additional authority there. They are also asking for additional authority to spend self-support tuition revenues. As you know, enrollments continue to grow at Sioux Falls. A lot of this is at Sioux Falls. They offer many programs at the Sioux Falls University Center. And that's $600,000 for a total of $1,800,000 for Dakota State University. South Dakota State University has a number of projects going on that are related to the Avera Health Science science facility. As they close facilities and build that new facility, they have to have place to put the student classrooms, student labs, as well as faculty. They're remodeling a former intramural building, and the cost of doing that is $500,000. They are using local M&R funds to do that, student-supported M&R funds to do that. They're upgrading a soccer field for $125,000, again, local M&R funds. Biostress basement finishing for $800,000. The board approved this at the December board meeting, and they are going to put labs in the basement of the Biostress building, which was built, I believe, about 25 years ago, and that basement has been shell space all of these years, but they have no place to conduct labs as they close down the old Shepherd Hall and tear down the old Shepherd Hall and replace that. They are also upgrading the HVAC system in one of their residence halls and are short authority on that project for in the amount of $75,000, and they had a little bit of school and public lands money left over, and the only way to spend that, of course, is to have authority. That's a total amount for SDSU of $1,504,378. They also are asking, SDSU is also asking for authority for Ag Experiment Station for $220,000 to provide lab space for two scientists, and those would be dollars generated out of indirect cost recovery, federal funds, monies that are turned into other funds as you generate those locally. School and public lands carryover, again, they did not expend their school and public lands last year, and they need the additional authority in order to spend that cash balance. The total amount of the other fund authority request is $5,007,393. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Other questions? Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is procedural for me. Is this normally where this would come in, only it already be in the bill, or is it, and I do notice there are other funds, but.
Yeah, we were contacted by the Bureau of Finance and Management and asked to send over our authority request to them. We didn't get them to them in time, and so we're having to bring an amendment to you. Yes, it would normally have been in the bill.
Okay, I'll wait. Yeah, thank you.
I do have a question, and that's at Dakota State University. Update me on this Governor's Research Center. This is a new one that's being started there?
Yeah, this is the, I must claim I don't know a lot about all of the centers. I believe there are four centers that are being phased out this year. This would be their last year of 5 years. And the Research and Commercialization Council, and I believe that council is appointed by the governor, is the one that identifies the center. They do competitive reviews for the centers, review the proposals, and this is a new one starting this year. Part of the money is state money. They have to generate grants and contracts to become self-supporting over 5 years because the state money is then moved on to another research center. I believe there have been a total of five. Four have continued, and one has been shut down.
Just to follow up, who's the one that shut down then?
I knew you'd ask that. It was a joint program between School of Mines and SDSU, and I could get you the name of that. They were not self-supporting. They were not generating the grants, and as we had agreed to when we started the centers, if they couldn't generate the money on their own, they would be closed.
Any other questions? Senator Hunstad? No? Okay, no other questions. Then all those in favor of this amendment, which would be 50 MB, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Oh, no, just have to say all those in favor. I'm sorry. Aye. Those opposed, nay. I apologize. As you can tell, I'm not quite all together today. I'm still recovering from illness, and so my apologies to the committee and to the home listeners. Okay. Any other proponents? No other proponents? Okay. Then I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion and interaction. Oh, I'm sorry. Opponents. Thank you. Opponents. Okay. Thank you. Now I will close this hearing to public testimony. Senator Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have an amendment that I'd like to pass around to offer, if I could, please. And this one on the page, so. Aaron. And a couple handouts that could go with that as well, so. That's a handout, yes.
Be reminded, Jason said he'd consider all amendments friendly. So. Just keep this in mind as we go forward.
Yes. Okay. Now to get on the right page, is there a motion to move? Senator Bartling, you move this amendment?
Yes, I do.
Is there
second?
All right. Now we can comments on that motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's a large amendment, as you can see. First of all, I'll refer you to the handout. It's the slide. This is slide number 22 of the governor's amended budget. And as you can see, the fourth line down calls for reversions or one-time cash of $13.6 million. And since this is our the only bill that I know of that is affecting the FY09 budget, I have worked with staff, and I have proposed this as a mechanism to revert or hold $13.6 million in accordance with what the governor has proposed. As you can see at the top, there are some sources of one-time cash, which has already been through some testimony on some bills. The $3.66 million in Streamlined Sales Tax Relief Fund, I believe Representative Ryan Olson had a bill over on the House side that addressed this. And then, of course, the $475,000 in the Consumer Settlement Fund that we've been advised of from the Attorney General. That is some one-time cash that will actually come through to help effort this one-time cash/reversion. And then the next section simply lists the pieces of the budget that I think we feel that are should be held sacred, not addressed. In the other handout that you have that identifies all the various budgets, those are highlighted in yellow. They're very important, the sale leaseback program, state aid, the health pools for the employees, all the various programs that are, you know, have already been told to us that there will be some spending and we will utilize those funds. And so the department reductions that I have come up with now actually are a balance left that needs to be reverted in accordance with what the governor has proposed, totaling $9.46 million. We've already heard from the Board of Regents that they, in their budget presentation, they are going to revert $2 million. And we've heard from the UJS that they have identified $450,000 that they will also revert. But we haven't heard from the other departments, including the legislature. And so what has happened here is we've just basically taken the rest of that and just basically did a percentage. We've just taken it by a percentage of a budget. I realize it's you know, not the perfect reduction, but to this date I haven't seen anything else. And quite frankly, with a provision of 13.6 in the governor's proposal to revert, and this is our general bill from last year that the Senate was the lead on. I feel we need to really address this and take this into consideration in Senate Bill 50. With that, I hope that we can talk about this and take this into consideration on this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Questions, Senator Haverly.
Well, did you get with the Bureau on this? Not that I always support them, but I mean, are they aware of this amendment?
Madam Chair, no, Senator Haverly, I've worked with LRC on this. Okay. Because we haven't seen anything from BFNM. Thank you.
Senator Bartling, when you did the reductions, did you take a percentage across the board, or how did you come up with the funds that were cut?
Thank you for the question. Basically, I've taken the $9.46 million in the towards the bottom there, decreased out the $2 million from Board of Regents, the $450,000 from UGS, because they did identify those to us in their budget presentations. The amount left, then just divide that by the total, $7,065,006, and then percentage that out. It's just a percentage, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a follow-up on that. Did you talk to these departments? I mean, what when you're looking at that, what we're cutting, okay? And I understand, but what is this that they're cutting? You're just saying you go back to the general fund, and it could be personal services or it could be operations. It's their choice what they want to do. Is that how I'm interpreting this?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, it is. It's just basically because we haven't heard from these departments where, you know, the governor has proposed a $13.6 million one-time reversion in cash or reversions, and as this bill needs to move forward, we haven't heard from any of those departments other than Board of Regents and UJS as to some proposals. This is just something that I feel that we need to put out onto the table and start talking, and perhaps BFM will come forth with some proposals as to where these cuts may be coming from or those individual departments. And as you see, I have included the legislature because I don't believe that we need to be held to any different standards than any other department in this state.
I have one more question, prerogative of the chairman. I was looking here. You did have social services, and I'm just looking at the number, 3.2. Do you know, does that have an impact on anything that we would be getting back from the feds if we took that much out for matching dollars that are already planned in there? And I think that would probably work with human services, too, because a lot of these are matching dollars.
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. You know, it may have some impact, and that's where I think this brings the discussion, that we do need to have more information brought to us rather than. And so I've just brought it for discussion.
Thank you. Senator Ahlers?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to make note that we did make formal requests to find out and identify where this $13.6 million was coming from. So it's not like there wasn't any notification put out there. The request was made through LRC to find out and identify where they proposed these cuts. And just so that's noted.
Sure. Senator Haverly?
Well, is this a time for me to maybe make a statement about the amendment itself, Madam Chair?
Yeah.
I appreciate obviously the work that's went into this because there looks like there's some good data here, but unfortunately we're talking about Senate Bill 50 having to shift houses, and this is a lot of data. This is a lot of information for all of us to try and verify. I don't doubt that it's just like anything, I would want to take time to study something like this. I would ask the members not to support this amendment based on a couple of different reasons. Number one, I think we're all pretty much in agreement that the stimulus package, we don't know what the effects are on all of these programs based on the budget proposal, whether it was the December budget proposal, whether it was a January budget proposal. There's going to be money that potentially could go into the FY09 budget that we don't know where the effects are. And until we get to that point, I don't know that we can have this. In other words, I think this is a premature. It may be a great piece of work. I haven't had a chance to study it. But based on that, I would say that we need to defeat this amendment at this time. It's going to have plenty of opportunity after the fact to get on this, just not at this time. The other thing is, and I think Senator Hunhoff alluded to it, you look at some of the general funds areas, and this again goes back to the stimulus package. We haven't sat down and actually seen where that money's going to flow. Why would we do something to a program at this point just to have to reinstate it down the road several times over again, maybe? I mean, we've all seen it. This session has been extremely difficult. This is a lot of information. And again, I value the work put into it, but pretty big amendment just to pass through that easily today. So I would ask members to oppose the amendment.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ahlers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to suggest that we defer action on this bill. I realize that we're getting to a time constraint, but this is an amended bill, and we can suspend the rules and take action on this bill at a later date. And I think that would give us time to sit down and look through these amendments, Maybe we can generate a few more questions. Maybe we'll get a little more response from our colleagues on the second floor, maybe a little more input, and we can make a more informed decision. I think this is needed. I don't think that we can just say, well, they're going to give us $13.6 million in reversions or the remaining $9.4 million in reversions on a trust me. I think this is, they put this out there. We needed to find these places. We've made the requests. Only two agencies identified those amounts, and I don't think that we need to take action on this today.
Madam Chair?
Senator Hunstad?
Well, and we do need to look at this. I wouldn't expect anybody to vote on this today. I think we could have time, and we certainly, I can tell you as we talked about this amendment, we talked about the fact that we really do need to have this weekend for everyone to look at it, including BFM, including everyone to look at this and say, what is this? I would not ask us to vote on this today. I would ask us to put it off. The truth is, we have done a very good job in the Senate. We're not going to have much problem passing over on crossover day. But we can suspend the rules and do that. We could pass this over a day later, and it won't make much difference. We'll be lucky if the House can get their work done and get them to us. And I think that we'll have plenty of time to move some work to them.
Senator Nostrup, did you have a comment before? No? Okay. Senator Haberle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, in the military, we always tried to improve our position. You always move to the hold line with the aircraft. You always got your power pushed up when you're ready to go to war. This isn't improving our position. This would be backstepping, because if we put this on there, we could potentially be holding up the entire process, when, in fact, you could take this to the next House and talk about it. And we would help you if we so felt that it was a good piece of work or that we could get behind it. I guess I would agree that we don't need to take action on this. I think the process, this Senate bill is just that. It's a Senate bill. We are coming up on a deadline, and we can't count on the fact that the House isn't going to have their day in order. I mean, we just can't count on that. So I think we're putting everybody at a very crucial moment of crossover day. We're already going to be behind the power curve when the stimulus package, when we start to work with that. I would again ask the members to oppose the amendment at this time, and let's get the Senate bill out of here.
Thank you. Any further comments? Senator Bartling.
Thank you. I appreciate all the comments, and you know, and I know we are concerned about what will the stimulus package bring, and then there is, you know, we don't know that, and until we know that, you know, we definitely do need to proceed and absolutely proceed with caution. But if it would work to carry this over and take this bill up on Monday, we can take motions on the floor Tuesday to take the bill, even though it's amended. We've done it in the past, and we can hear the bill Tuesday on the floor. There is no doubt. I would like, actually, quite honestly, to let Mr. Dilges and BFM take this and take a look at it and perhaps bring something back to us and say, in agriculture, for example, I've got a $71,621. That's not workable. But we can do this in agriculture, because quite honestly, we have only heard from two departments as to how it is proposed to fall into effect with what the governor has proposed. And if the governor is going to say, well, I don't think we need to propose that, I would like to hear that as well. I would like to hear, well, we don't, because of the economic stimulus, let's step back and not do that. I haven't heard that from the governor and the executive branch. I'm still going by what was proposed to us as an FY10, revised FY10 budget, and how we're going to meet with that is we're going to have to do something with FY09 as well. It just all flows into a sequence. And so, you know, if it would just work, and I know, Madam Chairman, you don't feel well, so cobwebs might, or, you know, so in your cobwebbed mind, you can maybe agree with me today. And take some thought, and I do. I would appreciate the Bureau of Finance and Management bringing something forth back to us. And if it's still at that point in time on Monday, if we can hold this bill over and it's still not workable, then fine. Let's send it to the floor the way we have thus far amended it and work it from there. But I would really like to hear what proposals BF&M may have for us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I'm going to do something here, and it's at the purview of the chairman, simply because this certainly is a major change in the game plan. I'm going to ask Commissioner Dilges to come back and just briefly, because if this is the first time you have seen, and to give some feedback on this.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Jason Dilges, Bureau of Finance and Management. Sure, thanks for the opportunity to just throw some comments out. It was stated that it's been asked for and you haven't received back a lot of information. I would submit that you have. The proposal the governor made back in January of $13.6 million was a pretty big step ahead. Now, I do recall that the commitment was made not as reversions in one-time cash, but a combination of $6 million of reversions and then an attempt to find about $7.6 million in one-time cash, not $9.465 million of reversions. And I do know that we have had significant discussions with your LRC, as I see they have the numbers of the one-time cash that we have identified. So they have had the pleasure of some of the discussions. The reason why you don't have more is because I don't know the answers yet. I haven't identified the cash. As you recall, you folks swept a significant amount of one-time cash last year in the general bill, and I can tell you that many of those cookie jars are now empty. And it's been a challenge for us to be able to try and ascertain where, since we're beg, borrowing, and stealing from every source possible, where to go get the amount of money. And again, we've made numerous attempts to sit down and go through that, not just folks from the executive branch, but with legislators, and that's still a fluid process. The reason that I've got some concerns are twofold about the way the amendment is drafted. The first being that I understand that you're frustrated, but understand and recognize I'm frustrated too, in that we're essentially 3 months into this hiring freeze, into this travel freeze, and this capital asset freeze. I don't know where the savings are going to necessarily accrue over the next 4 months till we get to the end of the fiscal year. If you take them from specific departments on a prorata basis, you know, I applaud your efforts, but life doesn't happen on a prorata basis. It just really doesn't. And so to assume that X percent of this, and I understand that's the only information that you had to take from, but I don't know what positions will be left open. I don't know which ones will have to be filled. And so it may be you may have the $6 million accrue in very different proportions than what you've got them by department. If you approve this amendment, then my hands are tied with my abilities, because now those cuts have already been made. And if there's additional amounts, say, for example, in the Department of Agriculture, then I can't take advantage of those. Similarly, I might be strapped in the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs because too much was cut. This happened back in, I believe, 96 or 97, where the governor committed to reversions. He made those happen. They didn't need necessarily a piece of legislation, but he made those happen. Right now I'm a little hesitant because of the stimulus and what that's going to mean about how we figure out one-time cash and reversions, because, as you know, we can't put the stimulus money into reserves. So you may be forced to spend the stimulus and save some of this money, because we're counting money in different hands. So I just ask you to consider that. The second issue was brought up by Madam Chair, and that is we have to prove to the feds our level of support for things like Medicaid and education funding to be able to qualify for the stimulus funds. If we, and I looked real briefly, quickly through the amendment, places that we have Title 19 budgeted in health, social services, human services, corrections, even education are enumerated within the amendment, and that's going to make it more challenging for me to be able to certify to the feds that we have not cut. Recall that to become eligible for the FMAP monies, we have to prove that we have restored to 2008 levels, which this would make it extremely difficult for me to do that. I have no problem continuing to carry on a dialogue with you folks with respect to how this will play out, but it really is fluid and it changes day by day, week by week. If the governor says he's going to revert $6 million, he's going to revert $6 million. And I understand it's tough for you guys to take him at his word and go home without a piece of legislation that proves that. But again, without knowing exactly where those dollars are going to come from which departments, that's tough. And when you've got, you know, I'll stand up for my friends in the constitutional offices here. These are small budgets. If you take a pro rata share, they may be forced at some points at the end of the year to lay people off to enable themselves to live within the reversion amounts. So all I can offer is that hopefully we keep talking and moving through this. Had we not had the stimulus package, I think this could be a lot clearer for us. But it does confuse and cloud things just a bit, and to put this amendment on right now would be difficult for us.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hunstad.
I think we need to continue to talk, too. You see a lot of work here. How did this happen? There's a certain amount of frustration. There's seven of us on this committee. And when we look around and we find out that we're only playing part-time, the guys sitting on this side of the table, are only playing part-time, we look during the middle of a session when we're on the floor and people are missing. We do all kinds of things. Trust me, though, we continue to think about this budget. We would have loved to have had this discussion and talk about it somewhere else. When else do we get heard? And does it make any difference? And maybe it doesn't. Truly, maybe any of this work doesn't make any difference to anybody. I would hope that at least that we could look at it and talk about it. I would love to have you look at it over the weekend. I would really like you to look at this over the weekend. I think that there are some things that we could continue to talk about and work on. I think there are ways we can get at the money. I found out, for example, that if a state employee has one of these, it's about $50 a month. Maybe they don't need them all. I don't know that. I don't know where this money might come from. I can't even begin to tell that. And maybe we only just need to have half of us here, and we could save a lot of money. Thank you.
Senator Allers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could I ask Commissioner Dill just a question? When we saw the governor's budget proposal, you had the $13.6 million in there. I'm assuming, and I'm giving you guys the benefit of the doubt, that there was a plan where these dollars were going to come from, but yet we're not clearly seeing that. And my fear is what's, and I've seen this happen on a few occasions, is we've proposed cuts and then we have no plan. I saw it with the South Dakota School for the Deaf. Clearly no plan. So I guess I'm wondering, you had to have something in mind here when you pulled this number out and said $13.6 million. What was it? I mean, even if it's not, you know, everything isn't on the table for that $13.6 million. At least I'd like to have seen it. I don't see it. I see two identified agencies out of all of these. That's it.
Madam Chair. I think part of it was intended to be a fluid process with legislative involvement, a process whereby which as you work through your hearings, you identify things, you learn things just like we learn things. I need to ask you to make sure you keep separate the reversion versus the one-time cash discussion, because I think that's an important distinction. The $6 million, I think we tried to look at how successful the freezes would be, some historical numbers in terms of what we had reverted and our capacity to revert, given the fact that we now had a freeze in place, and quite frankly, that was a bit of an estimate. With regards to the cash, I think what we had hoped was, as you work through your hearings, as we work through the process here, we would generate additional knowledge, i.e., we found out some things because, especially with regards to the two issues you see there. There were announcements. There was a bill on the first one. And so we had hoped that there would be additional things that would come out of some of your legislative deliberations. Quite frankly, that has not produced fruit yet. So just like you're frustrated, just like you're looking for stuff, I'm shaking trees too. If you want to shake trees together, fine, let's start shaking trees together. I'm trying to shake them by myself, you're trying to shake them by yourself, and I think we're not being very successful. Well, I think you all know where my office is, and I don't know where yours is, so.
All right. Any further discussion on this amendment? Okay. We have, and I guess my final comment on this, and I'll again take my prerogative. You know, I know there has been a lot of work, and I commend Senator Bartling and your effort on this. I have to say I got my biases, you know, those that would be the exceptions. You've pulled out education, and that's absolutely fine. From a provider standpoint, I'm concerned you're hitting human services, you're hitting social services, and these are people in our communities, and these are people that are impacted by the services that they receive. And if we jeopardize that funding coming to there, then the other side of the coin, we're going to see repercussions as to increased utilization. So, you know, and those are the biggest ones because apparently, as you allocated, they've got the big budget, so those more of the dollars come out. So, you know, in the gamut, we all have our little pots and we know what we want to certainly make an emphasis on. But with that, you know, I just am not comfortable just designating that we hit those, not knowing what the implications are on that. So, Senator Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to respond, and I thank you for your comments. And please understand, my intent was not to say because you've got the big budget, you're going to take the big cut. I want to know, and Mr. Dill just eloquently said, you know, he is searching. We've been searching for over a month, or we're at a month, from the date of this presentation. So we've heard from two budgets. We need to hear from the rest of them. Do they have some that they can help us with in meeting those reversions or one-time caches, whatever it might be, but the reversions especially? Are there areas where those budgets can come forward and help us? We haven't heard that. Just pushing the nudge. Let's hear it. Let's find out. Thank you.
Okay. We're voting on Amendment 50MA. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bartling?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
No.
Brown?
No.
Haverly?
No.
Hunhot?
No. Motion fails. 4-3. Okay. Senator Bartling.
I have another amendment, Madam Chair.
All right, let's go.
This is simple. This is on the page. Yes, I believe it was. I do believe. I might, Madam Chair. Okay. Thank you, Madam.
Oh, it was moved. Is there a second? Okay, moved and second. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm actually just striking lines 13 and 14. And if I may explain my concerns, any funds that are unspent by this are being allowed to be carried over to FY 2010. That is not the commonness of our appropriation. I believe by striking this, we are going to ensure that those funds do revert. And if these are the actual expenditure costs, there should be no reversions anyway. But I believe if we leave in there that they may be carried over to 2010, then we have lost probably a little bit of sight of where these funds are going. And I'm just not comfortable with carrying over funds from one year to the next and not just basically saying they're going to revert. I want them to revert. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask Commissioner Dill just, I thought that they always reverted if there were funds in the general bill. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the reason, and again, I need to remind the committee that this has been standard language because of the effective date of June 29th, that gives me essentially 2 days in which I have to make all these changes and go through the motions. For example, the vet's home issue, depending on when I get utility bills and things like that, I've got to front-end load all of this stuff because I don't have the ability from now until June 29th to make any of those adjustments. So budgets may go negative, and I have two days to get all that done. I guess I'll offer up the Regents amendments as examples. They'll essentially, of that $5 or $6 million you just added on an expenditure authority, they got 2 days to clean it all up, and then because we truly do at 5 o'clock on June 30th, business is closed, and the ability to access those funds is gone. Lest you have a lot of concerns about that, I think that it only talks about the additional funds, not the whole big general bill. I mean, it's this act, not last year's act, that you would have the ability to carry over in the event that's necessary. So all you're talking about is the Game, Fish, and Parks money, the Military and Veterans Affairs money, the Board of Regents money, that would essentially allow us the flexibility, if need be, to carry that over because of essentially only having 2 days in which to operate.
Just before, I just had Aaron pull up the 208, and that same wording verbiage is in there. Okay. All right. Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Dilges, would this, what kind of an effect if this language was not on here? Because I know we've talked loosely about the stimulus package in the hallways, anywhere else. Would this have an effect with this language not in here if you had to put money in for the 2009 budget from the stimulus package?
Madam Chair, Senator, you're reading my mind as I'm trying to think one or two steps ahead of you guys, in that if stimulus, and this likely would become the vehicle for the any stimulus that will take place in fiscal year 09, and so there's likely to be additional amendments to this bill as we learn more. But yes, if Section 5 goes away and we do tag on some stimulus, I'd like to put this back on, such that if I have to carry money forward, as you know, the stimulus money is available for 3 years, so that would allow movements from 9 to 10 or 10 to 11. So if it comes off now and we'd get stimulus, I'd really want to put that back on.
Senator Bartling.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate Jason's comments because I understand the stimulus, and that is correct, and I think if we do take it off, we can amend it back on. But when I look at the bill, we're increasing their general fund authority. So, you know, we're going to give that extra authority, and I'm looking, you know, at the state vet's home in particular. I realize it's because of the $70,000 in utility costs. However, if the energy conservation project proceeds and they don't need it, you know, there's the thought process we may not need that $70,000. And with this, it's possible that it's carried over rather than reverted. You know, I'm just thinking some policy that we as appropriators, you know, like to see some things happen, and I certainly understand Mr. Dilges' comments, but we've increased their general fund authority. It's not like we've decreased it and they have to come back. We're giving them a little more latitude in this bill, or in this amendment. Thank you. In bill.
Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I don't think we need to spend a lot more time on this, discussing this, because I think it's number one reason here, and I don't think it's a matter of, are we going to get a stimulus package? So I don't know why you'd take the language off. We are going to get the stimulus package. We're going to need to potentially use it for some FY09 things because the revenues have fallen off so dramatically in different areas. So I don't think that should be the question. This is standard language, as we already pointed out. And again, we need to move forward because we are on a time limit. And because of the days that he's talking about, that's exactly why that language is on there, is to protect us from being able to do things. So I would ask that people oppose the amendment. And again, let's move Senate Bill 50 out of here.
Thank you. Any further comments? Hearing none, the motion before you is 50AA. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bartling?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Ahlers? Nordstrup?
No.
Brown?
No.
Haverly?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
5-2.
Motion fails 5-2. Now. All right. Yes, we're ready. I need a motion.
I'm a due pass.
Oh, thank you, Senator Bartley. Due pass on Senate Bill 50. Is there a second?
As
amended. Second. All right. Any comments on that motion? I'm just going to say I think this has been good discussion. I think I also heard this is not done. because we're talking about stimulus, we're talking about adjustments. So, you know, just because it gets over to the Senate, it still has to go back over to the House. We're still trying to all figure out what the stimulus package is going to be, what's those dollars. So I think that you have done an excellent job in generating the discussion, and I don't think it's done. I think that we can still do some things, and I think we put Commissioner Dilges on notice that long way from being a done deal, so the ideas will keep floating, and you've given a pathway, and I think that's excellent, and let's work on that. So with that, all those in favor of Senate Bill 50 as amended signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bartling.
Aye.
Hunstead.
Aye.
Ahlers. Nordstrom?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
6-1.
Motion carried 6-1. Okay, we have another smokeout. We are just wonderful for smokeouts. So we need, this is on Senate Bill 117, and I believe this was the funding for the VOTEC. So we'll start again. Senator Haverly?
I would move that the language state do not pass.
It's been moved and seconded that we send this bill out with do not pass. Comments on that motion?
Chair.
Yes.
It's just insane the amount of this year, and somebody stated this to me earlier on the Senate floor, that every time somebody sneezes, we have another smoke out. Well, I think it's far surpassed the sneezing mode. The committee process is one that, yeah, you're not going to win all your battles, but, you know, if you justify your case, the committee should, in fact, be able to at least go on with the conversation, even though your bill failed, or just kill the bill. And I have way too much respect, and I would hope that the members stand by, not because you might agree with the bill when it hits the floor, but agree with at least the fact that we do our hard work and our due diligence within this committee, and please support this. Thank you.
Senator Hunstead.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, it well could be that the stimulus package requires us, in fact, to continue our efforts as we have in the past. And this bill was an attempt to do the same. It well might be that we should send this over and make sure that it's still available in the House in case we do need to continue with this funding. If we could make the argument that we don't dare mess with this bill because it might mess with our stimulus package, then the funding bill that proposes to cut something from something that we may have to have in place in order to get through, I don't know, maybe you all do, I don't know what it really does ask us to do in the stimulus package, but I know some of the things that it does say is we must continue the efforts we've done in the past. And so I would like to see this bill at least have an opportunity to go to the floor and have the debate and move on into the House. As we learn more, we may decide that, in fact, our original decision was correct. With that, I would like to have a substitute motion to send this to the floor without recommendation, so we can move it over to the House.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded for a substitute motion to move this bill out of committee with no recommendation. Senator Brown.
Well, I think I'd just like to respond to some of the comments made by Senator Hunstead. I think that our technical institutes are probably one of the best investments that we make in this state, and it truly is an investment. My concern here is that this is a special appropriation. It's one-time money. So to allude to the fact that we've done this in the past, I am new, but my understanding is that the intent when we have a special appropriation is that it's for that year alone. If we take a look at the funding in the general bill for the technical institutes, they're actually one of the few programs that received a 3% increase this year. And I guess if our intent is to say that the technical schools are underfunded or that they need additional funds, then I think we should be looking towards the general fund so that they've got an ongoing source. This particular piece of legislation in front of us is specifically limited to new programs or expansion of existing programs, one-time money, and I'm afraid that if we're going to develop those new programs, especially if they relate to specific workforce development programs, it's a little bit deceitful to not treat that as a general fund, because quite frankly, next year that special appropriation may not be there. So I think that's my biggest concern with this particular bill.
Thank you. Okay, we have a substitute motion before us to send this bill out with recommendation. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Bartling?
Aye.
Hunstad?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
No.
Brown?
No.
Haverly?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
Motion failed. Back to the original motion. Send out with a do not pass. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Bartling?
No.
Hunstad? Ahlers?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye. Carried 5-2. Well, I think that comes to the end of our agenda. I thank you, and then we'll see what next week. I don't have anything posted yet, but we need to look at the schedule because we've got some hearings that we're making up on Monday and Tuesday, so we'll see what we've got for bills. And I want to say thank you. We do have all our Senate bills done, so I appreciate that. Yes. All right. Senator Hunstad.
Is the meeting over? I would like to have us have just a minute or two to talk.
All right. Then Senator Ahlers moves to adjourn and Senator Brown seconds. All in favor say aye. Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. All right.